Hello, Odyssey. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up, we'll be hearing from an Odyssey actor and surprise singer.
But first, here's the latest news. Tickets for One Grand Party, the live Adventures in Odyssey experience here in Colorado Springs on August 2nd and 3rd are almost sold out.
If you want to join us for the biggest Odyssey event ever, and especially if you want to be part of an autograph signing, don't wait. Visit onegrandparty.com today and get your tickets before they're gone.
We've gotten a lot of questions about the Experience Odyssey part of the event. The live show is on Saturday. But the event on Friday, that's the Experience Odyssey part, that's included with every ticket.
Let's unpack that a little bit. Unlike the live show at New Life Church, the Friday part of the experience is at the main Focus on the Family campus. The day is going to be self-guided, and families can walk around and immerse themselves in the town of Odyssey at their own pace.
Some of the highlights include costume character meet and greets, special merchandise you can only get at the event, demonstrations from the sound designers, composer John Campbell, and artist Gary Locke will be here. There'll be Q&A sessions with the writers and producers.
We'll be hosting some of those.
Yes, we will. Plus, there's kids' activities and games, Odyssey fan trivia with prizes, a Hall of Fame, book signings.
And more.
Yeah.
Again, Experience Odyssey is included with every ticket, but all of these tickets will soon be sold out.
Especially those autograph signings.
So if you want to join us the first weekend in August, visit onegrandparty.com and grab those tickets.
I can't wait to meet everyone and connect with some old friends we haven't seen since the last live event.
It's going to be great. Okay, let's turn to today's guest. This month in the club, we heard the episode Running the Race Part 1, starring Keely Marshall as Bridget Perkins.
And in Right Notes, Wrong Key, that was part of Album 76, Keep It Together, we heard Keely Marshall starring and singing as Bridget.
And on today's podcast, we're about to hear Keely Marshall chatting, sharing, and reminiscing about playing Bridget in both of those shows.
Well, this isn't our first time chatting with Keely. We have a link to hear our first interview on the website.
Right, but today we're focusing on those two episodes. Club members have already heard Right Notes, Wrong Key, and they're partway through Running the Race, so this is kind of a look back and a preview at the same time.
Let's do this thing.
Keely, it's great to have you back with us.
Hi, it's so nice to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the episode Right Notes, Wrong Key. You got to be part of a band in this episode, and music is familiar territory for you. Tell us about your musical background.
Yes, I have been singing since I was about 4 years old, and music has always been a big part of my life. Like, my parents both absolutely love different kinds of music, so when I was growing up, I had, you know, rock and roll music. I had gospel music. I had so many different kinds of music around me growing up, which I think allowed me to develop my very wide range of music that I listen to. I did learn how to play the guitar when I was in like fifth grade, maybe. And I learned how to play the piano. I was self-taught on the piano. And then I taught myself how to play the ukulele. But on top of that, I actually wanted to learn in high school how you make the music and how you do the engineering and the producing side. So I got to learn the technology behind making music as well. So I definitely love music.
You know, we've heard from a lot of our actors that they don't do really a whole lot of preparation before voicing a role, but I'm guessing music has to be different. So how much did you practice singing before you actually were singing these songs in the studio?
Okay, first, I would like to say that I try to prepare as much as possible for each script because I absolutely love my job and I love the discovery of even like, so I've been Bridget for, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah.
And so I love getting to discover a new element and a new layer to her each time I'm working. And so for me, it's important to go through the script and really see how she's changing. And maybe going back to the, you know, the last script, like if I'm recording an episode, I'm going to say, okay, what was I doing in the episode before? How was I acting? And maybe what did I learn? So that way I'm able to grow as a character, not just in each episode, but as a whole. But I will say that for music, it does come second nature to me, but I think practice absolutely makes perfect. So I knew for this song I needed to show up and I wanted to do my job the best that I could. So like any performance, especially a recorded performance, I worked with a vocal coach, actually. I practiced a ton at home. For example, I would record myself and listen back to hear how it sounded and just really make sure that I liked how it sounded before I went into the studio.
Wow.
Well, you did a great job. You know, for a typical Odyssey show, we usually record a scene about three times, and then we do pickups of tricky lines that need more work. I was in the studio with you, but I'm trying to remember, how many times did you go through a song?
So when you're recording an original song, so like if I wrote a song and composed it and was working with somebody on it, usually it takes a few days to record because it's still a creative process as you're going through the recording. But for this purpose, you guys came up with a fantastic song and gave it to me. So really what I had to do was just make sure that I was being Bridget while I was singing it. I was, you know, hitting all the right notes, not the wrong keys. And so it took us probably about an hour and a half because the creative part had already been figured out for the most part.
Yeah, because we did it separately, didn't we? We did the songs apart from the scenes themselves.
Yes, we did.
And I'm totally not a singer. So I've got to ask, is it different singing like just in a studio by yourself versus singing live in front of an audience?
Well, it definitely is, but I try to make it as similar as I can. So when I'm performing a song, it's like with voiceover and when I'm just talking, I have to make sure that when I'm happy or excited or sad, you can hear that through just my voice. Mm-hmm. So when I'm singing, I have to make sure that I can convey those feelings and emotions as well. And so for me, I definitely found that I have to kind of perform in a way when I'm performing music behind a microphone, because then that way the audience can really feel what I'm trying to portray a lot better than if I just stood there and sang at the microphone. So in some ways, it's very different. In other ways, it's exactly the same. I just have to make sure I don't move too much and I stay right in front of my microphone.
Right.
There was a lot of drama among the band members. Looking back at the episode, did the dynamics of your fictional band, Manic Ravioli, feel authentic to what you've seen in the music world?
You know, I think that I have gotten extremely lucky in the musicians that I've worked with and I have met really see each other as family more than anything. And so there's not so much, you know, jumping around for a new singer or a new band. So for me, I think that I've seen a lot of fantastic musicians who really love each other and the music just grows out of love, which is great.
That's good. You know, one of your bandmates was actually voiced by my son.
Really?
Yes. Oh. He was Zane.
I didn't know that.
He was Zane, the drummer.
Yes.
Yes. Ended up getting, I can't give away what happens because that something not everyone's heard it yet.
Well, right. So, yeah.
But yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
He had a blast. We did that back here in Colorado Springs.
Oh, wow.
Well, let me shift us from music over to sports. And I think this might be a good time for our
TRQ,
which is a totally random question from a listener. And today's comes from Jeep Girly 16. And she wants to know, what's your favorite breakfast food?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think that my favorite breakfast food, I don't know that it's necessarily a food. I think just coffee. Coffee is a great way to start the day. If we're talking, you know, breakfast as a whole, breakfast food, I definitely love a good pancake, sometimes with chocolate chips.
Right?
Yes.
I think chocolate chips is the only way to have them. That's how my wife always makes them.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it just adds a little bit of a happiness to start your day.
Well, thank you, Jeep Girly 16, for that question. Okay, let's move on to Running the Race, Bridget's first historical episode in the Imagination Station. How was recording a story like this different from, you know, shows that feature your family or friends, peers?
Yeah, so this one was different because we did a lot of focus on Bridget's character development. And by that, I mean, we really got to see her struggle more in depth with different situations rather than kind of having one situation really represent a longer period of time. And so that for me was very, very cool to explore from an actor's side, because I really got to spend time, because it was like 60 pages, I think, maybe. And so we really spent a lot of time with Bridget. And that was cool to get to see how she, or myself, I guess, interacted with all the other characters and in different time periods and a whole lot of different places as well.
Yeah. And of course, this story featured Eric Little, and you went back in time to see him as a child, and then, you know, throughout really his life as an Olympian and beyond as a missionary. So did you do some research before going into the studio of who was Eric Little?
Okay, so a fun fact about me is that I am a total history nerd. I love, love, love history. So whenever I get to research the background of something, I'm always, you know, spending a decent amount of time on that. So for me, it was really cool because I did not know the story of Eric Little. And so I got to research him, get to know him a little bit better. And then the actors who played Eric Little in various stages of his life brought him to life so well.
I'm guessing in your research, you probably came across some of the old newsreel footage of him actually racing, did you?
Yes, yes. And it was so fun to see how different their running costumes were.
Yes. And his style was a little unorthodox, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. Not something I would wear today.
You also worked extensively with Greg Jabara, the voice of Pastor Knox. Probably, I think this is for the first time. Greg played several different roles in these three episodes. Tell us something about Greg that maybe our listeners wouldn't know.
Okay. First of all, Greg is fantastic. He is so fun to work with. And maybe you wouldn't guess, or maybe you would, but he's very kind, as you might guess from his character. Mm-hmm. And he is, well, after listening to the episode, you'll realize that he is just extremely talented. And when someone is both kind and talented, it makes working together so much easier because you have an even better time working, which that's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah.
And it's great that we're back in the studio, because during those COVID years, we didn't get the benefit of that. You know, everybody was isolated. And now you guys can actually be together in the same room, which has been really fun.
Yes, and even between takes, it's nice to chat with him, get to know him just as a person as well, because I think that, you know, enhances our character's relationship as well.
You know, actors, it's funny to see them both in dramatic roles and also in comedic roles. And it seems like the ones who have the dramatic roles usually get nominated for the awards. So there's a tendency to think of the heavy emotional scenes as being the most difficult. Is that true for you, Keely?
So in some ways, yes, it definitely is, because when you are acting, you want to make it as realistic as possible. So you're putting yourself in that sad situation and you are really trying to feel it as much as possible and make it as relatable to you as you possibly can. And so I definitely do sometimes, like after we were done recording, especially the last few scenes, I won't say anything, but I had to get up and shake it off a little bit so that I could get back to smiling and laughing and being my normal goofy self. But yeah, no, it's definitely a different kind of challenging with comedy. It's more structural. So yeah, there's some different aspects to each that make them easier and harder.
As you look back on these stories, and they're very different, of course, what do you hope listeners take away from each of them?
So one thing that I'm constantly trying to do in my own life is look around me and really understand that every single person has so much going on and you just do not know what they are going through. And I think in both these episodes, we kind of see different worlds in which Jules and Bridget have a disconnect and they don't necessarily understand what's going on in each other's worlds. And then you get a deep dive on a character like Eric Little. And I wouldn't have known that if I had just met him, or, you know, if you're a fan or a spectator at the Olympics, you wouldn't know that he did all this other missionary work and he had, you know, so many obstacles that he had to overcome throughout the years and even until the end of his life. And so I think that it's just so important that we stand back and we really take a second to say, okay, you know, maybe that person's grumpy because they have a lot going on in their own world. And I think it's just so important to step back and acknowledge that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people are onions, right? There's always,
absolutely,
there's layers to us and there's layers to you. And it is always so awesome having you on the podcast, Keely. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys. And thanks everyone for listening. I so appreciate it.
You can hear Running the Race Part 1 in the club right now. Part 2 releases April 1st, and you can listen to Right Notes Wrong Key there as well.
That episode is part of Album 76, Keep It Together. It's available now on CD and download, and it's coming to the radio and online starting April 6th. Before we go, what else is going on in the club, Bob?
This month, we're premiering a new comic series that answers a question that we get so often.
When is Connie going to get married?
No, the other one. Whatever happened to Kidsborough?
Oh, yeah. I've been wondering about that.
After you've read these comics, you'll wonder no more. That premieres March 11th in the club, and members will be able to enjoy book one of the classic Kidsborough novels next Thursday, March 14th.
Wow, that's a lot of Kidsborough. But that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online or join the club at adventuresinodyssey.com or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
Adventures in Odyssey has taken generations of children on an exciting journey, all the while sharing biblical principles and activating their imaginations. Now, in 2024, we'll be airing our 1,000th episode. To celebrate, we're inviting every member of the Odyssey family to join us for one grand party. This spectacular two-day event is packed with fun and excitement for Adventures in Odyssey fans of every age. Partygoers will enjoy an unmatched, immersive experience into the town of Odyssey. Meet and greets with cast and crew, Q&A sessions, trivia contests, and more. The party is topped off with a live episode recording starring fan favorite characters. It's all happening on August 2nd and 3rd in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tickets for One Grand Party are going fast. Learn more at onegrandparty.com.